Welcome to the Minister's Friend podcast with pastor and author Dr. John Kimball. The Minister's Friend is a podcast helping pastors and other church workers navigate the challenges of leading the flock. John has been a church planter, a local church pastor, a seminary professor, and a denominational leader. He coaches and mentors pastors and missionaries around the world. Drawing on over 30 years of experience in local, regional, and national ministry, John and some of his colleagues provide practical guidance on the topics you request. We are so glad you've joined us. And now, here's our host, Pastor John.
Thanks, Anna. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Minister's Friend podcast. It was many years ago, but one time in my first church, we had a medical emergency. A beloved man had a massive heart attack on the back walkway of the church during an evening barbecue. Someone came and got me. I ran to where he had fallen, and with the help of an RN that attended our church, we administered CPR for nearly 30 minutes while we waited for the rescue squad to arrive from town. We were about 15 miles away. I'll never forget that night. While a large crowd gathered, there were only three of us available who had been trained in CPR. Church security is way more than just policing the property. It's being ready for all kinds of emergencies. Today, we begin a brand new series of episodes with my friend, Jason White. Jason is a pastor, a federal agent, and a church security expert. He's also the author of a great book on the topic, Church Security and Outreach, A Spirit-Led Strategy to Pursue the One and Protect the 99. In this first installment, Jason introduces himself, and then we get right into the topic, discussing how a church can balance security needs with the mission of the church so that we are never distracted from our primary purpose. Well, I have the distinct privilege today to be talking with Jason White, who is a friend and a fellow pastor here in my hometown of Oviedo. He also happens to be a federal agent and a security expert, which is why we're talking to him today. Today's topic is church security. Jason, welcome to the Minister's Friend podcast.
Well, thank you. It is my pleasure to be here with you today.
Yep. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell the folks out in my audience what you do and how you became a church security expert.
Oh, well, first and foremost, I have a wonderful wife, Heather. We have a almost three-year-old son and a second son on the way.
So congratulations.
Thank you. We are blessed with a wonderful family. Heather and I both are involved in law enforcement. She's about a decade into her career into forensics, CSI. She's got a very, very strong background in that. She is a forensic scientist at heart, but she's also a phenomenal teacher. And I wish she could have been here today, but she's working right now.
Okay.
Myself, I'm about 17 years into my career in law enforcement, and that's been as a local police officer, deputy U.S. Marshal, and a federal agent.
So one of the questions that I have had is, how did you end up in the ministry on top of all that?
You know, I think there is, for many people in law enforcement, you know, you're drawn to law enforcement because you want to serve. As a believer in law enforcement, that pull is really, really great.
Wow.
And Heather and I both at the same time felt that call. I was involved in a Bible study at a CrossFit gym, of all places.
Yeah.
So you got the CrossFit gym going on, all the music and the banging of the weights and that atmosphere, and you have a group of guys in there, and we're leading a Bible study. And I told the guys, I said, you know, the Lord really put something on my heart that he has something for me, but I'm not prepared for it. And it was very convicting. I shared that with my wife, who at the same time, who was also doing a women's Bible study at the same gym with two amazing Christian leaders, friends of ours. And she had it too. And wow. I said, we need to pursue this. And that led us to enter into seminary, and we did seminary through Liberty University, and just continued to serve and serve at our church. And it has been a blessing, and the Lord just continues to bless us, growing us in our relationship with Him, but also with others.
Wow. So. Wow. Very interesting combination. So we're talking about church security and outreach. We'll plug your book on that as well while we're here. But it's an interesting combination that you talk about, church security and outreach. What exactly do we mean by that?
Well, on the surface, it sounds like a dichotomy. And that's what a lot of people say to me initially. And my simple response is, if it's not a ministry, I see where you're coming from. Mm. If it is a ministry, those two are, they're not separable.
Wow.
The word that jumps out to a lot of people, especially within the local churches, is security. And that brings up images of military or law enforcement or private security. Mm-hmm. These, you know, that the overbearing presence. And that can be something that we as pastors in the church, we don't want that.
Right.
We want a warm, welcoming worship environment.
Right.
But that's not what we're talking about with security. Security for us is enhancing the safety and security for everybody who's involved. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So the subtitle of your book, I meant to bring it and have it in front of me here, but it's something like Pursuing the One and Protecting the 99, or what does that exactly mean?
Yes, we're taking that up from the parable of the lost sheep out of Luke 15, and there is that difficult balance that local churches and Christian organizations have to have their stewardship responsibility to protect the flock, but also fulfill the Great Commandment and Great Commission to reach the lost. Mm. So if I have a stewardship responsibility to protect the flock, and I'm commanded and commissioned to reach the lost, well, I'm throwing a net out to the lost. Mm-hmm. I'm opening my doors. I'm actually reaching out and bringing people in, and we may be bringing in threats into the church.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is difficult because we have that stewardship responsibility to protect those in the church. And it's, how do you balance this? So that's why the parable of the lost sheep really convicted me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Lord will never leave us or forsake us.
Right.
He is always with us. And I believe that the 99 sheep represent that. Mm-hmm. But we can never sacrifice the one, or the attention we need to give to the one, just to secure the 99. Hmm. So that's where this pastor's paradox comes in and says, how do we have a strategy where we can continue to pursue the lost and provide a warm and welcoming worship environment to people who are coming on Sundays to receive a message, to be in worship, but also provide protection?
So along with your book, you have put together a team of people and have this conference that you've done, I think, more than once now. We were in one of those here locally that was absolutely phenomenal. I mean, opened my eyes as a local church pastor to things that weren't even on my radar screen. And among those things is that acronym ADAM. So could you describe the ADAM acronym and what that means for security?
Certainly. I needed something simple to convey the strategy of how to overcome the pastor's paradox and this balance that we have to do, provide a warm, welcoming environment and pursuing the lost at the same time. And it requires action. That's our action step. That's what A stands for. Whether you're in the planning phase, where you're starting a security ministry, or you're on the very other extreme, let's say there's an emergency situation that happens. Action's required. We can never gloss over the fact that you need to do something. The act of omission is the act of commission, and that is something that is very strong. And if you don't get the ball rolling in the planning phase, it just always stays. We're waiting for the planning to begin. In this strategy, the first action step that local churches take is a deterrence strategy, and that's what our D is. Now, deterrence is an overt attempt to prevent an attack from occurring. Mm-hmm. So let me give you an example, a simple example I think everybody can relate to. If somebody's coming to the church and they just want to break into a car in the parking lot, and you have a hired law enforcement officer there, the mere presence of that patrol car may deter somebody from breaking into the cars. Mm-hmm. The problem is deterrence doesn't always work.
Okay.
And if your assailant who wants to commit whatever type of attack they want to do is determined to do that, your deterrence isn't going to be enough.
Okay.
I like using extreme examples. So an extreme example would be the very rare case that an active shooter occurs.
Right.
Most active shooters don't plan on living. Mm. So your deterrence strategy really doesn't work.
Yeah.
So that brings us to the second A in Adam, which is avoidance. Avoidance is an attempt to avoid being directly hit.
Okay.
So if there is an attack that is going to occur on the pastor during a sermon, we would much rather avoid being directly hit in the congregation, maybe have that attack interdicted in the parking lot.
Okay.
Now, the only way you can do that, though, is if you have a covert strategy and a security ministry who is situationally aware, paying attention, seeing these things, and working with local law enforcement. And it works. That strategy does work. But just because you avoided a direct hit doesn't mean that damage isn't done. So that's where the M comes into play.
Okay.
The M in the Adam strategy stands for mitigation.
Okay.
I'll give you two examples of mitigation.
Okay.
The use of weapons. If your church is one that has armed safety and security members in it, and that is supported by your lead pastor's vision, they need to be trained.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about training more later.
Yeah.
But if that strategy is in there, that is a mitigation strategy. Let me give you another mitigation strategy. If an attack occurs, and let's say worst case scenario, somebody is shot, and they're shot and they have an arterial bleed. Now, we know that arterial bleeds can cause death within minutes.
Right.
So if somebody is shot, they could potentially bleed out in minutes. Help is generally more than minutes away because it takes time to call 911, get the dispatcher to relay the information, and then get your first responders there. And that's not to say they're going to come directly to you, because if the attack is ongoing, they're still dealing with the threat. But if you simply know how to properly use a tourniquet, you can stop the bleeding. So you have now mitigated the damage from death down to a severe injury that will be treated by first responders. And then you will be taken to the next level of care at a hospital.
Right.
So there's a lot more involved in Adam. That's just kind of a shot on each one of the letters that I cover a lot more in the book. But I hope that gives an idea of the overall strategy.
Adam. Action. Deterrence. Avoidance. Mitigation. When I was a kid, we were all allowed to play outside on the church's playground unattended. Today, parents would never think of doing that. We were never worried about an active shooter storming into a worship service. But today, many people have that in the back of their minds the whole time they gather on a Sunday. We never thought about having emergency procedures in place for violence, kidnapping, or other threats. But today, we need to do our due diligence in all of these areas. As Jason noted so well, if we're doing our job, then we're bringing people into the church so they can experience transformation in Christ. Well, if that's true, we always need to be cognizant that some of those folks might actually be a threat. Next time, Jason helps us understand church security as a ministry, that there really is a spiritual side to all that we do to protect people and property. That's coming up on The Minister's Friend. We're so grateful that you are in our audience. The Minister's Friend podcast exists to help pastors and other church leaders just like you lead their congregations well. If you're being blessed by our ministry, please tell other people about us. Your recommendation to your friends, to other pastors and church leaders, that's the best advertising we could ever ask for. Please also take a moment and give us a review on whatever platform you listen to the podcast. Good reviews and ratings by our audience move us up the charts and enable us to connect with more people so they can be blessed by our ministry as well. I'm so glad you were with us for today's episode. I hope it was helpful to you. Thank you for joining us here on the Minister's Friend Podcast. Let's do this again, real soon.
You've been listening to the Minister's Friend Podcast with pastor and author John Kimball. Be sure to check out today's show notes for additional tools, resources, and information. If today's episode has been helpful to you, let us know. You can shoot us an email at podcast@johnrkimball.com. That's podcast@johnrkimball.com. You can also leave a note on our Facebook page. These are also the best ways to suggest topics for future shows. We want to hear from you. And please tell your friends about us. Until next time, may God bless you and your ministry with great fruit for His kingdom. Bye!